The one who I serve, the one who I proclaim, he is not dead, he is alive. And if you have never seen him alive to this very day, let me tell you, today is the day when you're going to meet with God and you are going to see him come alive right in front of your eyes. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people ask me, Ankit, why do you even want to come to America? It makes no sense. You have a large ministry in India. You have thousands upon thousands of people coming there. What's the need for you to ever come to America in the first place? Isn't it uncomfortable to coming to America? Let me tell you this. I never wanted to come to America, to be honest. One of the reasons why I didn't want to come to America is because, you know, I thought Americans were a bunch of know-it-alls, you know, who were all snobbish and didn't want to hear a thing that anyone else had to say. But, a lot of people try to talk me out of coming to America. And so I never did. And one fine day, I'm telling you, I had an encounter with God. I was actually here in America for a holiday. And I was actually taking a flight. And I was sitting in the plane at that very moment. I was with Reinhard Bonnke. And Reinhard Bonnke is like a mentor to me and like a grandfather to me. And I was flying with him. And as I was sitting with him in his jet. And I was talking to him about America. And he was telling me how, you know, something needs to happen in America. Something has to change in America. There needs to be a revival that breaks out. And as he was saying that to me, I was like, yeah, well, you know, we have revival in India. I'm not worried about America. You know, at that very moment, something happened to me. The power of God hit me so hard in that plane. And I heard the voice of the Lord clearly and said, it's time for you to go to America. And I said, Lord, why would you want me to go to America? And he said to me, Ankit, remember, missionaries were sent from America to India. And son, I want you to know that I am no man's debtor, that I will always repay everything that somebody has ever done for the kingdom. So because people came and invested into India, I'm sending you back to America with the gospel. And at that moment, I was like, God, you know, I don't even know where to begin. What am I going to do? How is this going to happen? And so, you know, the crazy thing, I met Pastor Don Clowers. Again, the first time I met him, I didn't even know who he was or what was happening. I just came down to America just to, you know, look at the land and see where I'm going to be at. And at that point, he opened his heart to me and I came to see him. And when I met him, I'm telling you, my life, my ministry, and everything that I am changed forever. Because he added an edge to me that I never had, an edge of love for the people that I never had before. And that's what made all the difference in my ministry. But anyway, today I'm here to tell you that God's presence is here. And you either belong to two categories today. Category number one, you're here to receive from God. Category two, critics. So whichever you are today, I want you to know that God has something for you. So just raise your hands to the Lord wherever you are. We worship you, Father God. Father, I welcome your presence here in our midst at this very moment. I pray that you take complete control over this place. Father, you know why I came from all the way from India to America? Because you sent me, not because I wanted to come. And Father, I pray that today will be the day when their lives will never be the same. Yes. Their lives will change for good. And I pray, Father, that there'll be revival that will break out in America. That we will see America saved. We will see this nation transformed. We will see the people transformed. We will see things that we've never seen before come to pass in this nation. Because God, I know that you are not done with America. That this is just the beginning and the best is yet to come, Father God. And we look to you from where our help comes from, Father God. I know at this very last moment that you will pour out your spirit. And Father, we will see this nation shaken. We will see the White House shaken. We will see the Senate, the Congress shaken by the power of God. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that from here a revival will break out, touching the lives of everyone in this nation, Father God. Because I'm tired and sick of reading about revival. I'm tired and sick about hearing about revival of the past. But Father, I want to say today that Lord, give us revival or I die. Give us revival or I die. And Father, I pray that this revival will break out in this nation, Father God. That you will raise up people from this place to go to the ends of America, Lord, Father God. That everybody in this nation will hear the gospel come to them. That Father, the situation in this nation will change. A transformation will come. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, all that you're going to do. I submit this meeting into your hands. Do what you please. And everything you must increase and I must decrease. You alone deserve all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap, please. And I also want to thank Pastor Bob for having me over. It's such an honor to be standing here today. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Today I want you to open your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 37. Now, one of the reasons why I'm preaching this message today is not just because I have to or because I just had to preach another message. As I landed in America this time around, I had a vision. And I saw a valley of dry bones. And it was crazy because, you know, I read it in the Bible, but it was a different thing to see it in person. I was standing on this huge valley, on this mountain, and all around me were dry bones. And I looked at it, and the Lord said that is America. And he said to me, son, I have brought you to this place to prophesy to my people, to prophesy to these bones that they may live once again. And, you know, when I looked at those bones all around me, suddenly something happened. I started hearing a loud noise that almost, you know, made me deaf. And I saw the bones just flying up in the air and going all around me. And I saw the bones almost hitting me. So I had to duck down. And it was everywhere. It was scary. It was one of the most scariest experiences I've ever had in my life. And then, as that started happening, I saw a huge army standing right in front of me. And the Lord said, whatever is dead will come back to life once again. So today I want to read this scripture to you because this is something that God put in my heart. And I know that this is what's going to change this nation. This is how it's going to be and how things are going to change. I don't care if people even think that God is done with America. But I want you to know God is not done with America. This is just the beginning. The best is yet to come. I don't care what anyone says about America. I don't care how dead they think this place is. I want you to know I serve a God who brings the dead back to life. So I don't care what anyone has to say about anything. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, that you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the man and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath and breathe to these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of America. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Give the Lord a big clap, please. As I read this scripture, it changed the way I thought. You know, here's what I saw in this. You know, every time you go to, you know, you talk about these things, people have consistent unbelief, which, you know, bothers me beyond you can understand. I remember the first time I preached in America. I went to this large church, and, you know, they know I have a healing ministry, and the pastor comes up to me and says, you know, this is America. You know, people are not the same way they're in India. Oh, let me tell you, stand on that stage, but don't pray for the sick. Because miracles don't happen in America the way they happen in India. And he says to me, just be very careful. People are very different. I looked at him and I said, I don't know what God you believe in. I said, the same devil in India is the same devil in America. The same God in India is the same God in America. And I'm telling you, something is about to happen. And I'm telling you, things are about to change. This nation is going to be shaken one more time. It shall be in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, that evening, I saw miracles break out all over the place. The blind saw, the crippled heard, the crippled walked, the deaf heard. I'm telling you, all kinds of things, tumors disappearing. And the pastor comes out after the service and he tells me, oh, well, you know, there's something special about you. That's why this happened. I told the pastor, listen. Everyone tells me, Anki, the days of miracles are over. They once were there, they'll come back one more time. Let me tell you, the days of miracle were never over. Amen. You know what happened? The days of the people of faith is what got over. People stopped being and having faith. People started getting afraid to step out in faith. Why do you think A. Allen saw what he saw? Why do you think the great men of old saw what they saw? Because they were not afraid of what people thought. They stepped out in faith, knowing God is with them. God is going to back them, regardless of what anyone else thinks. A revival is not a big meeting. A revival is the word of God that comes with power. And look, we've heard too many people in this day and age where people are so apologetic about everything. We don't need people like that anymore. We need people who will stand in that pulpit and still preach that heaven is real, hell is real, hell is as hot as before. And I'm telling you, when that happens, that is when revival will come to this nation. Fear is what keeps us from revival. You know, as I read this, I understood one thing. You know, everyone always, you know, says this and prays this prayer. I'm telling you, I've been to over 38 countries in my life to preach the gospel. And everywhere that I've preached, I've always seen people pray these prayers. The weirdest prayers that you can ever hear. Let me show you. My dear friends, we've gathered here today. Now, we're going to pray right now. Father, we are worms. We are dust. Father, we're nothing. You don't need us. But God, you can do anything you want. So do what you want. And then there are these weird songs that people sing. Let God arise. Let God. Listen, God doesn't have to arise. It's time we arise. He rose again from the dead 2,000 years ago, and he did not die again. He is still alive. So you better arise. And here's the thing. God doesn't need, listen to me. If you read Ezekiel 37, there's one thing that you will notice consistently. Every time you read it, let me read it one more time to you. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they indeed were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So answered, O Lord God, you know. See, look, Ezekiel did not have as much as faith as I did. If I was in Ezekiel's place, I would not have said, O Lord, you know. I'd be like, yes, I know you can bring them back to life. That's why we're better than Ezekiel. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know the crazy thing about the scripture? If God wanted, he could bring all these bones back to life. Why did God have to tell Ezekiel, you prophesy to these bones and say to the bones, hear the word of the Lord. And you wonder why there's no revival in America. God has been speaking consistently all the time. But here's the thing. Nobody has the guts to hear what God has to say and say what he wants you to say. You have these seeker-friendly churches that don't speak the truth. Don't preach what needs to be preached. And you wonder why this nation is doing as bad as it is. And I want you to know, here's the thing. He said, prophesy to these bones. Thus says the Lord. Let me tell you, if Americans don't stand up and do something for God, God will find a guy all the way in India and drag him to America to bring revival to you. I've been in the ministry for over 12 years now. I started my ministry at the age of 12. And I've been preaching ever since. Not a day has gone by wherever I've ever looked back and said, oh, you know, I wish I was not a preacher. Life's so difficult. But let me tell you, I put my life, my heart, everything that I have, my childhood, and all that I have for the sake of the gospel. I've made the sacrifice that I have to make to be where I am today. Because I know for a fact that if somebody doesn't stand up, if somebody doesn't do what God wants them to do, then I'm telling you, this nation will not be saved. Revival is not just about people getting saved. It's about the people of God rising up one more time and saying, no, I will not take what's happening to my nation. I will stand against what's happening. I will raise my voice from the pulpits and I will say what I have to say. I will do what I have to do. Listen, Christianity becomes a religion if it has no power. How different are we from the Quran? How different are we from the Hindu books? If we don't have the guts to preach and pray for the sick and to see the power of God manifest. Hallelujah. We're not reading a storybook, people. Everything that you read in the Bible, I'm telling you, it's still active to this very day. It just depends on who is going to grab it, who is going to take it, and who's going to run with the plan. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big clap, please. You see the nation of America, and it breaks my heart. As I read the scripture, it talks about a rattling noise. You see the news every single day. You see what's happening at this very moment. You see the noise that the liberals are making all across this nation. You know, the whole reason why there is so much happening in this nation is for one very simple reason. That the bones are about to come back to its bone, and that's why you're hearing the rattling noise. God is shaking up the foundations of America. I'm telling you, that's why the devil is running helter and skelter. That's why the devil is freaked out about what's happening. He's doing his best. He's trying his best to drag this nation down. But I'm telling you, as long as people stand on this pulpit and preach the word of God, this nation will never be taken by the devil in the name of Jesus. It is not going to happen. Not on my watch. I don't care. I don't care what anyone else thinks about me. He's very straightforward. I don't like the way this guy preaches. I don't care if you don't like the way I preach. I didn't come here to please you. I'm here to do what God asked me to do, regardless of whether people like it or not. I'm telling you, I don't care. Listen, if I had to preach a good message, get a good offering, I could do that in India. I don't have to come to America to do that. I promise you, when I stand on that stage in India, thousands upon thousands of people come to hear me. I sound like a crazy guy deciding to leave all of that and come here. When I spoke to the Lord, I said, God, why would you want me to do something like that? God spoke to me and said, son, if I could leave the heavens and come down to the earth as a man, you can't do that for me. So I'm saying, so I'm like, God, is America that bad, really? And just let me ask everyone today, all those who are dead, shout a hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Let's try this one more time. All those who are dead, shout a hallelujah. Hallelujah! I think there's a miracle that happened today that all the dead people came back to life. I want you to know. Now, Americans have a lot of faith. They brought dead people to the meeting. Let me tell you. This nation has sent missionaries across the world. To Africa, to India. You know, there's a revival happening in Africa. There's a revival happening in India. There are entire states in India that are fully, Christian today. And it's because God used people from America to come down to India. And I want you to know, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to find people whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God is looking for people on this planet. God is looking for people in America. He doesn't care where you're from, what you do, how old you are. Listen, God doesn't care about those things. He only cares about one thing, if you are willing to do what He asked you to do. I'm not here to preach to you another message that makes you feel good, then you go back home and you forget about what I said. I promise you, that when you go back home today, you will lie on that bed and you won't be able to sleep. Because God is going to put that fire that He has put in my heart into your heart, that you will have no sleep for the next 1 week. You will wake up thinking, what is happening to America? It's time we stand and do something about it. Every church always believes that it's always the pastor's responsibility to grow the church. Let me tell you, it's not the pastor's responsibility to grow the church. It's your responsibility to grow the church. The fivefold ministries were not made so that you just stand on the pulpit and preach. It's made for the equipping of the saints. And the saints are you. And we are to equip you to do the work of the ministry. I'm telling you this, if people start raising up in the pews, forget the pulpit, in the pews, and get up and start preaching outside. You know what can happen to this nation overnight? I think, if I preach to somebody, I don't know what they're going to say. They might get upset with me. They might punch me in the face. Well, you don't look that great anyway. Don't worry about it. Here's the thing. Again, I want to say God is not done with America. This whole day, I was spending time praying. And I was watching some videos of the old-time preachers. And the way the revival broke out. Where the crowds came in. Thousands upon thousands of people giving their lives to the Lord. And I felt for a moment. I said, God, if this doesn't happen to me in my ministry, I'd rather die. I said, God, give me revival or I die. I said, I'm done with this mediocre Christian life. Preaching Sunday after Sunday. Seeing miracles happen, but no revival in this nation. People preach all the time. But let me ask you, are souls actually being saved the way they used to? There are very few churches like this that actually focus on winning souls. Very few. I can count them on one hand. Every church has become a good production. Christianity was never meant to be a production. You have people with smoke machines on the stage. You have people, worship leaders wearing shorts to church. Could you imagine A. Allen standing on the stage with shorts and preaching? Could you imagine the greatest men and women? Listen. Here's the thing. People are trying too much to be like the world. We're not meant to be like the world. We were set apart. We were chosen for a reason. And I'm telling you, I am not going to conform to the pattern of the world, but I am going to be renewed, and I'm going to stand on the word and the way God asked me to be. I will not go down to their level to do what I have to do for God. It doesn't have to be that way. He set us apart for a reason. He consecrated us for him, for himself. The church is turning into the world. But it's time the world changes into the church. And I'm sick of what's happening. And unless that moment comes when you cannot sit quiet, then I'm telling you something is wrong with you on the inside. A revival always comes by the people who have boldness in their lives. Let me finish reading Ezekiel 37. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling noise. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath and breathe on these slain that they may live. Why do you think God was asking Ezekiel to prophesy? Why do you think God wants us to prophesy? Why do you think God wants us to stand on that pulpit and preach? You don't know. There is power in the words that come out of a child of God. When you say something, I'm telling you, it will not come back to you void. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And that's why God asks us to prophesy. Let's do this. Listen, let me ask you this. everything that God made in Genesis, he says, that there be sun, and there was sun. Let there be the plants, there were the plants. Whatever he said, there was. Let there be light, and there was light. Whatever he said, there was. But when God made us, he molded us in clay. And the Bible says he put his breath in us. Amen. You know what that means? Pick your hands up for a moment like this. Put it towards your mouth. If your breath is bad, that's fine. Get some gum the next time around. But say, Jesus. Thus says the Lord. America shall be saved. You know what's happening? When you're breathing out, you feel your breath on your hand. You know where that breath came from? God put that breath in you. So when you speak, it is God speaking through you. And that is actually the breath of God that's coming out of you every time you say something. So when you say something, know that it is the breath of God that is coming out of you and bringing the dead things back to life. God's put us as the has his mouthpiece on this earth. If we choose not to do anything about it, then God can do nothing about it. His hands are tied. He gave us the authority over this world. He gave us the authority over everything that there is. Jesus didn't die on the cross because he just wanted to. To make a good poster. To make a great religious story. He died on the cross to save us from hell. To save us from eternal damnation. That's why he died on that cross for our sake. And the thing is, people have forgotten that. Believers are happy when they get saved. Oh, I'm going to heaven, and that's about it. Let me ask you a question today. Imagine one day you're walking down a cliff and you see a man hanging for his life. And you have a rope that's tied around your waist that you have with you. And there's a man about to slip and fall. And you look at him, you see him. And then you decide to do nothing about it, although you have a rope around your waist. And you walk away. He slips. He dies. Whose fault was it really? Was it the man's fault that he slipped and died? Or was it your fault because you had the rope and you could have saved him? God has given you a rope called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't use that rope, one day God is going to ask you the account for every person that is lost. And I'm telling you, it is not a joke. That's why I have the urgency that I have in my spirit to do what I have to do for God. And I'm telling you, in this last hour, I believe that God is going to prosper people for the end time harvest. And I'm telling you this, that millions and millions of dollars are going to come in to fund the gospel. God is going to raise up multi-millionaires across this nation to fund the gospel. Let me tell you a testimony. Recently, as I was in India, there was a huge issue with some of the Hindu groups. They came against me and they told me, if you preach, if you pray for the sick, we will arrest you. And I said, how can you arrest me? And he said, for a simple reason, because you're practicing medicine without a license. They can come up with anything and everything. And I stood up on the stage, and under the unction of the Holy Ghost, I said, tonight, I don't care whoever's standing outside who want to arrest me or beat me up. I don't care. I want to tell you that I'm going to do what God asked me to do. And I challenge you, try to touch me if you want. And you will see the power of the Holy Ghost come upon you and take you out in the name of Jesus. And when I said that, three people in the Hindu group fell to their faces at that very moment. And the rest of the people ran out of fear. And that night I came back to my hotel. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, son, you've been preaching in crusades for years and years. He said, now it's time that you start a television channel. I said, God, a Christian television channel? Again? I mean, there are too many out there already. I don't want to be one among the crowd. I'm not interested in doing that. And the Lord said, son, let me tell you that I'm tired of Christian television today. And he says to me, son, I'm going to give you a television channel that will put my word, put my breath in it, and we're going to send it across all over the world. And I said, all right, fine, let's do it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, this is going to happen in 2 months' time. I said, God, a television channel in 2 months' time? You know how much that even costs? And I said, how am I going to do it? And he said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And here's what happened. The next morning I woke up, I went to my team, and I said to them, listen, the Lord spoke to me to start a television channel in India. And they were like, how are we going to do that? Because here's the thing, in India, you're not allowed to use the money that comes into your ministry to start a private limited. And you cannot start a television channel with a private limited company, with a ministry company. You can only start a channel with a business company. So, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do the whole thing, because I needed almost $700,000 to even start the channel up. And I said, God, how am I going to do that? And the Lord said, don't worry about it. It'll happen. So by faith, that day I said, you know what? We're going to go and buy all the equipment that we need for the television channel. And my team was like, we don't even have a signal. Why are you going to buy the equipment yet? Let's get the signal and then buy the... I said, no, we're going to go the other way around. We're going to buy the equipment first, and then God will give us a signal. And so I went that day. I wrote a check. I bought all the equipment that was needed for the television channel. I went back to my studio, sitting down and pressing different buttons, you know, because I love buttons. So I was clicking all the buttons on the studio, pretending I have a TV station. And here's the thing. At this point, I paid whatever I had to pay. I mean, it was really expensive to buy the equipment in the first place. But, you know, the next thing is the signal. And I said, Lord, how are you going to do that? And plus, as you know, India is not an easy place. You can't go and just say, oh, give me a signal, and just give you a signal. People don't like Christians there. People put guns against your face when you preach the gospel. So it's not an easy place to stand up and do whatever you want to do. So, you know, so basically I told one of my guys, you know what, it's time to look for a signal. There's a huge company called eDigital that reaches around 17 million homes across India. And I said, you know, why don't you, go talk to them and see what we can do. So one of my guys went and spoke to the vice president of eDigital. And the guy was a communist guy, an atheist who believes, who does not believe in God. And he hated the idea of Christians. And so my guy went up to him and said, sir, we need a signal. And he said, sure, we'll give you a signal. But here's the thing. You have to pay 100% advance for the entire year. Wow. And my guy was like, sir, we can't pay you that much. You know, just if we can pay by monthly installments every year, that would be great. And the man says, hey, do you think your Jesus is going to come and pay your bills? And so that's the kind of guy he was. And so my guy got really upset and he came back to me. It's not going to happen. They're not going to let us have it. I said, you of little faith. I'm going to go and we're going to talk to him. He said, no, sir, we don't want you to come there. You know, I know the kind of short-tempered person that you are. You might just punch him in the face and walk away. So, you know, we don't want any issues. So please don't come meet him. Now I said, no, I'm going to come see him. So the next day we went at 11:30 and we sat down with him. And the guy, I showed him my video, the video that he just saw. I showed it to him. He took my phone. He saw it for 3 seconds. He literally chucked my phone back on the table. And he just didn't care about what I had to say. And he said, no, 100% advance is what we need. I have a point to why I'm telling you this. Hold on. So he said, no, you know, pay us 100% and we'll give you the signal. So I said, I can't do that at this point. And he's like, well, then we're not going to give you the signal. So he walks away for a moment. And I prayed and I said, God, you told me to do this. And you hold the hearts of the kings. And I said, you will turn it in my favor. And I'm not leaving here without a signal today. So he walks back in. So here's what I do. I sit near him. I pull my chair all the way to his table. And I'm like literally this close to him. And I said, listen to me, my friend. I said, I don't care if you're going to give me a signal or not. Today, I'm going to tell you something for 10 minutes and you're going to listen to me. And if you don't like it, I will walk out of this place. I don't care about your signal, but you will listen to me carefully today. For 10 minutes, I preached the gospel to that guy and told him what Jesus did. And here's what happened. Right after that, his face completely changed. He looks at me and he says, well, you know, my wife is actually a Christian. And I said, well, we're going to put the gospel out there. I'm going to put Jesus on all the TV all the TV sets across this nation. And the guy says, sure, what do you want from me? And I said, here's what I want. I said, I'm going to pay you 3 months of advance, and you're going to let me have the TV signal. And I said, after I pay the 3 month advance, I'm not going to pay you for those 3 months. I will pay you only after the third month. So is that okay? And he says, yeah, sure, whatever you need. And then I walked out of there with a signal. I support over 30 ministries across the world. And I take care of over 2,000 homeless people every single week. I give like a crazy person. And that's why God shows up. And let me tell you, the point behind the story is this. If I could go there and sit with a communist guy in a nation that does not like Christians and get a television signal that nobody else could get, then let me tell you, cracking open America is a piece of cake for God. If God can do it in India, He can do it in America. If God can heal in India, He can heal in America. If God can bring a revival in India, He can bring a revival in America. And listen, I'm not just talking about meetings in churches. I'm telling you, there is going to be a day when we're going to have mass crusades in America the way we have it in India. And I'm telling you, millions of people are going to come, get saved, healed, delivered, and this nation is going to come to Jesus one more time. I'm telling you, God is going to turn the hearts, He's going to turn the eyes of people on Jesus one more time. And the fear of the name of the Lord will come upon the people. And I am telling you, this nation shall be saved. This nation shall come to Jesus. Glory, hallelujah! The days of revival are here one more time. The days of miracles are here today. The days of revival is here. If you believe it, stand up. Give the Lord the biggest clap you've ever given Him before. Come on, give the Lord a big clap today. In God we trust. This nation was brought on that foundation of in God we trust. And I'm telling you, that trust and that revival in the name of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, is going to come back. People will fear that name. It's not going to be a cuss word that everyone uses every day. It's going to bring fear when people speak it. People will be afraid to say the name of Jesus. They will know what the power of the Holy Ghost is. They will know what the power of the name above all names. At the name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over America. Raise your hand to the Lord at this very moment. I see the presence of God in this place. I see him moving right now. It's your heart that you open up to God to touch you one more time. Revival starts with you. Revival starts with you. And to confirm what God spoke to me through Ezekiel 37. The Lord spoke to me and told me there are many people here who have problems in your bones. And all those with problems in your bones, show me your hands wherever you are. Raise your hands up, all those people with the problem in your bones. And all those who put your hands up, come up in the front with the problems in your bones. Come up quickly wherever you are. Come on up. Come on up. Only those people with a problem in your bones come up in the front. I'm just calling for the people with a problem in your bones, no one else. Listen, in the nation of India, I've seen more miracles happen in America, ratio-wise, than in India. So you can't tell me miracles don't happen here. Everywhere I've been in America, I've seen miracles after miracles, miracles after miracles, miracles after miracles. So people can't tell me miracles don't happen in this nation, because they do. And I will not accept anyone who says that it does not happen. Because I'm not standing here as just another man preaching another message. I'm standing here because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to set the captives free, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor to this nation and to the city of Dallas, Texas. In America, in India, we've seen people born. There was a little girl who came to my meeting. She took 3 days to get to the meeting with her mother. She was born without a uterus. She was born without the organ to pass urine with. So the doctor actually made a surgical hole there. And the doctor said, at the age of 17, they'll put a fake organ there. It may or may not work. The reason they took 3 days to get to the meeting is for a very simple reason. Because the girl was smelling so bad because she could not hold in her urine that every time they got on a bus, they would put her out of the bus every single time. So they changed over 8 or 9 buses just to get to the meeting. And they were standing in the back of the crowd of over 10,000 people. And here's what happened. I told the people that Jesus does not depend on me laying hands on you. And I said the Spirit of the Lord is here, and He's going to touch people right where they are in the meeting. And miracles are going to happen all over the place. And so when I called for the testimony, over 6,000 people were healed that night. And people came running. And here's the thing, people were fighting to testify. And there's one girl who came up on the stage, this girl who came up on the stage with her mother. And the mother is crying and crying. And I asked her, what happened to you? What's wrong? And the mother looks at me and says, this is what happened to my daughter. She was born without these organs. I said, what happened now? She said, well, as you prayed, we were standing all the way at the back. And she said, as you prayed, my daughter came to me and said, there's something going on inside. I don't know what's happening on the inside of me. And when they checked, they saw a brand new organ created for her right there. And they went for a test. They came back the next day with x-rays showing one x-ray, no organs, the next x-ray with all our organs present in its place. Are you guys here for healing as well? Come on here. Stand right in front of me. Come here. Stand in front of me. And I'm telling you, I don't care what problem you have in your bones today. I don't care how bad the situation is. I don't care what the doctor said. Because I want to tell you, I don't care what the doctors say. Doctors say what they have to say. But Jesus has to say that today you shall be healed in His name. Your bones will come back to its place. The pain that you have will leave. Miracles will happen in your bodies. And here's the thing. After I pray for you, test your bodies. Do what you could not do. If you couldn't bend, bend and check up. If you couldn't move around and check up. Do what you could not do. Only when you test your bodies, you will know that you are healed. And I'm not saying you may be healed. I'm saying you shall be healed. I don't believe that I have a God who does maybe and iffy things. When He touches you, He touches you. And once He heals you, you will remain healed all the days of your life, and that problem will never come back again. Are you ready for your healing? And after you test your bodies, I want you to come up and testify immediately. I don't have to be standing and say, oh, please come on the stage. No, listen. When you're healed, come up on the stage immediately. Let me tell you, if you don't testify, you can lose your miracle, because the testimony is a weapon given to us by God. And if you choose to lay that weapon on the devil's feet, the devil can come back and attack you one more time. So when you're healed, come up and testify immediately. Agreed? Amen. All right. Lift your hands high to the Lord. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every foul demon holding their bodies, and I break your hold in the name of Jesus. Every bone, come back to its bone at this very moment. Every missing bone, be recreated. Every broken bone, come back to its place in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, I command you, be gone in Jesus' name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, I speak for a miracle to happen in the name of Jesus. I bind every pain in the name of Jesus. I cast it out of your bodies right now. Every pain be gone. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to set you free today. And in the name of Jesus, I take the authority that He has given me, and I set you free in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Every pain be gone. Never come back again in the name of Jesus. I've spoken what the Lord has asked me to speak, and it shall be so according to the words that He asked me to speak today. Nothing can reverse what God has put into action, into motion. In Jesus' name, be healed and be made whole in the name of Jesus. The pain will never come back again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now test your bodies. Do what you couldn't do. Come on, test your bodies. Do what you couldn't do. And all those who are healed, show me your hands wherever you are. Show me your hands wherever you are. Look at, come on, show me, pick your hands up. All those who are healed right now. Come up here on the side quickly. All those who are healed, come up on the side quickly. Come on up, wherever you are, come up on the side quickly. Quickly here. All those, keep testing your bodies. Do what you could not do. All those who are healed, come up. Come up here quickly. All those who are healed right now. Come on the left side really quick. I don't care if you have other problems. Test your bodies as well. You'll see a miracle happen. There's a healing anointing that's been released upon this place right now. It doesn't matter where you're sitting. God can touch you right where you are. Keep testing your bodies. All those of you, come up quickly, quickly, quickly. Come on the left side, quickly. What happened to you, sir?
I have vertebrae that's messed up, and then God straightened them out.
How long did you have this problem for?
For like 8 years.
For 8 years you had this problem?
Yeah.
What happened to your back?
I slipped wet water.
You slipped wrong, and then what happened? You couldn't bend?
Then I couldn't bend.
Bend now. How do you feel?
I feel better.
Bend again. Thank you, Lord, for healing him. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person, quickly. What happened?
I was having trouble with my knees.
Please be seated.
I'm having trouble with my knees. I want to jump up and down, but you know.
And how do you feel now?
God is good.
It's good? Why don't you just run down and come back up quickly? Go. How do you feel?
Good.
No pain.
No pain.
No pain.
No pain.
How long did you have this problem for?
Long time.
A long time?
Yes. I used to lay carpet and messed up my knees.
Now you're completely fine.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for healing him. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person, please. Come on up.
Hi. Just what you were preaching, the Lord just put into me, because this side, I always had this leg that it hurt, and my knees. I was just shaking my body. He was taking over my body just to give me. I know I'm healed because I know I don't feel anything.
You don't feel anything now?
No, I don't feel anything. And this is the leg that I always have a problem. And I have pain right here in the bones, but no anymore.
Move it around.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for healing her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on up.
I have scoliosis, and I also have severe arthritis in my hips. I wasn't able to bend. I was constantly in pain.
How do you feel now?
I feel wonderful.
Listen, nobody can fake those tears. Only Jesus can do that. Give Jesus a big clap today.
Wonderful.
How long did you have this problem for?
Since I was 19. I'm 33 now.
Since the time you were 19, what didn't you do?
I was just taking pain medication. Couldn't bend down, couldn't get out of bed in the mornings.
You had difficulty walking and bending and everything?
Yes.
Do me a favor. Run down here, go up, and run back and tell me how you feel. Go. Come on, give the Lord a big clap. Come on up. How do you feel?
No pain. Nothing.
Since the time she was a 19-year-old, she had this problem, scoliosis. She couldn't even get off her bed. And tonight, Jesus touched her, and a miracle happened, and she's completely healed. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. I release your glory in Jesus' name. Come on up, please. Look at so many people healed here tonight.
I went to a chiropractor because my bones were out of whack, and I paid, over $2,000. And then recently somebody hit me in the back, and it messed up again. And so I couldn't turn, and now I can turn. When I'm driving, I would have to turn physically instead of my head, and now I can turn. Amen.
The fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her in the name of Jesus. What happened?
Well, the doctor diagnosed me with arthritis in my knees, but I couldn't bend, but now I can.
How do you feel?
I feel good.
Thank you, Lord, for healing her. In Jesus' name. Amen. We need some catchers up here, please, if we have any. What happened to you?
I've been having a terrible cough for 7-8 years. And my body just closes up on me and gets stiff, and I can't move. I came in earlier to the service, and I had a terrible pain on my side, and it just went away.
Went away.
Just went away. I feel great.
In Jesus' name, amen. Next person, please.
I'm from my waist down. My bones would hurt all the time, and I couldn't sit down. I'd have to get up and walk around. This has gone for 6 months, and God healed me.
Move around.
Yeah, I'd get like this constant pain where I just couldn't sit down. I'd have to keep on getting up and moving just because of my legs were hurting me so bad. And God, just a while ago, I kept getting up, moving around because they were hurting. And now I have no pain in them. I have no pain.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, the reason I prayed for the people in the bones, let me tell you this. I wanted to confirm what God spoke to me through the word. And that's why he brought the people with the problems in the bones today. For you to know that God is going to bring a revival in this nation. The bones will come back to its bone. And America shall be saved in Jesus' name.
I had a pain in my shoulder. Some stuff going on in here. And then my knees. They throughout work and stuff. I felt like they've been hurting when I go upstairs and stuff. So now it's all been fixed. Everything feels good.
You feel fine?
Yeah, I feel fine. I can move my shoulders, my neck, everything.
Thank you, Lord, for healing him. In Jesus' name, amen. Next person, please.
I was diagnosed with arthritis in my right knee last week. You know, but I've been standing on the word and I've been believing God to completely heal me. Of the pain in my knees. And it's gone. The pain is gone.
Thank you, Lord, for healing him in Jesus' name. This problem will never come back again.
Well, in the moment that you spoke and you said that he's not an iffy God, my knee stopped hurting.
When I said that. When move your knee. How do you feel?
No pain there.
No pain.
It just lifted.
How long did you have this problem for?
I've been having that problem off and on ever since probably about like 2013. Wow. Messed up my Achilles heel running.
Now I feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, for healing him. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead. Next person, please.
Yeah, I had generosal curse against my family. They had rheumatoid arthritis, and the doctors wanted to give me artificial knees, and I just was claiming 1 Peter 2:24 over my life. And you prayed, and I felt the power of God come through my body, and I have no more pain.
No more pain.
No more pain. No more pain.
You won't need that knee. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of every family generation curse. It will never continue. It will never happen again. In Jesus' name. Come on up.
Well, I got touched by my Lord tonight because my body is always aching. And now I feel great.
You feel great?
Yeah.
Move around. You feel good?
Oh, yeah, I feel good.
No pain at all?
No pain at all.
Thank you, Lord, for healing her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on up.
When you said that Jesus was going to heal the bones, I thought, well, I don't need to have any healing in my bones. And the Lord said, yes, you do. You're a diabetic and the blood is in your bones and you need healing. And I got healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, this problem will never come back again. Come on up.
My knee, whenever I would bend my right knee would go out to the side and my foot would go to the left. Or my foot would go to the left and my knee would go inside. And when you finish praying, I check my knees. My feet are straight. My knees are straight.
Come on. Go. So when you'd move it, the knee would move to the side?
Yes, it would go this way. Like that.
And now that doesn't happen anymore.
That's not happening anymore.
Thank you, Lord, for healing her. In Jesus' name, amen. Next person, please.
I didn't answer the healing call because I didn't think there was anything wrong with my bones. But as you were praying and you said healing over arthritis, my spirit jumped because I was feeling so much pain up here, and it kept coming back and coming back, and I thought it was work related. But when you prayed, arthritis, be healed, I just knew that was my problem, and the pain is gone.
Completely gone.
Completely gone. I mean, it was always just right there all the time, and I didn't know what it was.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Well, I know God's a healer of arthritis because I had arthritis in my neck and God totally healed me. So when I got up with 100% belief that God was going to heal my hips because the devil told me that I started having pain in my hips a couple of days ago. And the devil said, that's arthritis, it's moved to your hips now. And I said, devil, you a liar, I do not have arthritis. But I was having a problem standing with heels on, and as you can see, I have my heels on now because there's no pain. I have no pain.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for healing her in Jesus' name. That problem will never come back again to any part of your body ever again in Jesus' name.
I've been having pain, been having pain in my leg and hip for the past 2 weeks, and then as you prayed, it just went away, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. We give you the glory in Jesus' name.
I've had arthritis in my neck for a long time and get whiplashes every time I'd be in a car, okay? And in my feet, I had a tear at the bottom of my foot and had to be in a cast, and it's been hurting again on my left. And then my shoulders, like tears in my shoulders from a fall. So I'm totally set free and healed today because my neck's healed and my foot, you know, and legs. And so I know I'm healed, you know.
Thank you, Lord, for healing her in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on up.
I didn't come up because I was on the computer. And okay, so I also didn't come up because I didn't remember about my bones. But when you said arthritis, I had been having a hard time in my hip and in my knee pain. And when you told the pain to go, you know, it's better. And I've been on a supplement too, but when you said it's not coming back, I received that. And I wasn't going to come up, but then I found somebody that could take the computer because I don't want to lose it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. It will never come back again. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have osteoporosis in my hips and in my shoulders, and it was painful for me at times, especially when I go to bed at night. I had to keep switching sides because it would hurt, you know, when I'd lay on my hips too long. But I can bend. Really, yes. Yeah, so I'm healed.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll come there. Hold on. There are a lot of bodies on the on the pulpit today.
The doctors diagnosed me with rheumatoid and osteoarthritis, and for the last 2 years, I have to wear braces on my knees just to climb upstairs. I have to hold on to something, and just so that my knees don't get tired, I have to wear the braces. But today I told my husband, I'm gonna leave my braces in the back seat of the truck, and if you can't dry me, I'm gonna dry myself. But I'm going for my healing today. I'm coming for my healing. I feel good. I walked up the stairs without holding anything, and I walked around to make sure I was okay. I've not been able to stand up this long, and my gosh, I don't know how long without braces on my legs. I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful.
In Jesus' name.
In November, I broke my pelvic and my lower back, but I believe I'm healed. And but the enemy tries to make it sore sometimes, but it's not now.
It's not sore anymore.
No.
Thank you, Lord, for healing her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.
I was changing a mattress in my room and it fell on top of me on my side.
The mattress fell on.
Yes. And I praise the Lord because I know that He healed me in Jesus' name.
How do you feel?
Hallelujah. Doesn't hurt no more. Because I can even touch my toes. So I praise God for that. Amen.
In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for healing her. This problem will never come back again. Give the Lord a big clap, please. I'm just going to finally close with this. The reason I wanted to show you what God spoke to me, because I spoke on Ezekiel 37 and how God was bringing the bones back to its bone. This was more of a prophetic demonstration where you will see that this nation is going to be saved and everything that has fallen apart will come back together one more time. And let me read this last scripture and I'll close. Stand up to your feet quickly, please, as I read this. Ezekiel 37, verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. This is God talking to America. Behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I've opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I am the Lord who has spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. I want you to know that this is the God that we are talking about. He is going to bring back this nation into its former glory. That a great revival is going to break out this year. Mark my words, this year will be the greatest year for America, and the revival is going to begin now, and you will see the great awakening happening one more time before Jesus comes back. The final reprieve is here. As you're standing there, every eye be closed. At this very moment. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. As every eye is closed at this very moment. Tonight, there are only three kinds of people standing here. Category number one, you've never given your life to Jesus before. You've lived your life in sin, in addictions, in all kinds of sin that's ruined your life. And I want you to know that the wages of sin is death. And sin only drags you down to hell. But Jesus gives you life and life eternal. I wish every way worked, but there's only one way. And His name is Jesus, and there is no other way. Your sin will destroy you, but Jesus will give you a brand new life. It's time to turn away from that sin and turn to Jesus. Category number two. Once upon a time you were on fire for God and sin took over your life and you backslid And today God wants to touch you. It's never too late to come back to Jesus. Those secret sins that you are living in, it might seem okay today, it might seem okay tomorrow, but I want you to know that your sin will catch on to you one day. Your sin is what destroyed your home, your family, your lives, and everything. Don't let that sin fester in your life. Today is the day to get rid of that sin from your life and rededicate your life to Jesus to see America saved. God is willing to use anybody as long as you choose to leave your sin behind and choose to follow Jesus. Category number three. The devil's been consistently lying to you about your salvation and lying to you that you are not saved and that God does not love you. I want you to know that today is the day to make sure of your salvation, to fix your life. I promise you, once you turn to Jesus, your life will never be the same. He's the only way. He changed my life. He's changed millions of lives across the world. Suicide is not the answer. Drugs is not the answer. Alcohol is not the answer. Pornography is not the answer. Jesus can change your life today. It's all about making that decision. Either you're living in sin, or your fire has died down and you've backslidden, or you're not sure about your salvation. These three categories of people, show me your hands wherever you are. Let your hands go up wherever you are. God bless you. Anyone else here? God bless you. Anyone else here? God bless you. God bless you. Come, pick your hands up. Don't be afraid, because this is your life and this is your choice. Don't be afraid of what he may think or what she may think, because this is your decision. This is your future. Tomorrow when you die, do you know where you're going? If you're not sure about where you're going, if you put your hand on your pillow today and breathe your last breath, do you know what's going to happen to you? If you're not sure today, then today's the day to make sure of where you're going. Because Jesus is the way to eternal life. And no one can go to the Father except through Jesus Christ. All those who put your hands up, come walking up in the front. Wherever you are, come now. Wherever you are, come up in the front. Come on up. Come on up wherever you are. Come now, wherever you are. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come on up. We're not here to condemn you. We're here to love you. Come on, wherever you are. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on. Come up quickly. Come up quickly. God bless you. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't let that sin fester in your life. You know I'm talking to you today. Wherever you are, leave your place. Come up in the front of this very moment. Come on up. I'm going to give you one last call. Wherever you are, come now. Come now. You know I'm talking to you. Something that's happening inside of you, that feeling that you feel, is God calling you. Come now, wherever you are. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come. 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 Come give your life to Jesus today. I'm giving you one last call. Wherever you are, you know I'm talking to you. Come on up. Don't let the devil take over your life anymore. Don't let that sin take over your life anymore. One last call. Anyone else here tonight? Come up in the front. Quickly. Quickly. Just lift your hands to the Lord right where you are. Lift both your hands up to Jesus. Say this prayer loudly with all your heart. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I turn away from my sin and I choose to follow you. Today, I leave my sin behind me and I follow you. Lord Jesus, today I declare and I believe that you came down to the earth as a man. You died on the cross for my sin. You shed your blood for my sake. And you were buried. And after 3 days, you rose again from the dead. Today I repent and I choose to follow you. In the name of Jesus, I ask for my sins to be forgiven. Now I boldly declare, my sins are forgiven. I boldly declare, from this very moment, I am your child, and you are my Father. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen.